Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thanks for joining us today as we conclude the series entitled Sacred Marriage, Part 3. When our marriages are strong, it leads us to better praying because our hearts are at peace and right. All is well.
Yes.
When all is well between me and you, then all is well between us and God.
Right.
And we have confidence and there's a boldness involved in that. There's a peace involved in that. There's just a joy and love. And it's pretty impressive. It's pretty amazing.
It seems from this that if you are a ministry family, that your ministry is more effectual if you're home life
absolutely
is what it should be. If your marriage is strong, let me ask you this, and this is just off the cuff too, so you may not be able to answer, but would you think that in a man's mind where things are more compartmentalized, like you have given me the illustration of boxes, you only open one box at a time in your brain, you only think of one thing, would it be easier for a man in ministry to compartmentalize his ministry? You know, maybe things aren't going well at home, but hey, look what's going on here at the church. It's booming. God is blessing. The Lord is working. So everything should be okay in my life.
Yeah. And I think a lot of men do that, not just in ministry, but a lot of men who things aren't well in their marriage overlook that because things are okay everywhere else. We're fine. The bills are paid. I got a nice car.
Okay.
Things are well in the ministry. Everything's okay. We're fine. We'll make it. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that counseling, marriage counseling, is very tough. And one of the reasons it is because typically everything's not great, but it's not bad. We're surviving. We're hanging in there. We're okay. You know, wish it were better, but hey, you know, everything's good. I got a nice car. Mm-hmm. I got my life. We're good. Everything's well. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden something massive happens that's been building over a long time.
Right.
And then people come running for counseling at that point. And of course, that's what we do. We counsel, we help, we love.
Right.
But at that point, it's gone so long that it's almost astonishing how, number one, how simple it is. What could have prevented it is so simple.
True.
But number two, the process of going back and starting over is so simple. And we as men can tend to overlook. And I think maybe ladies do as well, but in a different way.
Right.
I mean, you know, ladies have all these antennas that are everywhere going, yeah, something's not right here, but we're okay. We're fine. And it's a reminder that if we're going to have great prayer lives and we're going to walk with God, First Peter is telling us, and the point of the book here is that if we work on our marriage and have a good marriage, we can develop a really great prayer life because that enhances our relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Good.
So that's 1 Peter 3:7. And yes. Then here's another one, and I'll read this one because this is a passage that is so interesting and always has been. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and boy, do they have a wrong understanding about marriage and especially the bedroom in marriage and all of that. Apparently, in the culture of their day, men didn't marry for the bedroom. That was kind of taking care of a man's sexual needs, or even a woman's, apparently, was not focused on the marriage and each other. That was social. They got married for social reasons, political reasons, financial reasons, all kinds of things, but rarely for bedroom reasons. And so he's correcting an error in their thinking, and here's what he says. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for men not to touch a woman. Meaning, don't touch a woman that you're not married to, is what he's saying. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. He's talking about the bedroom there. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And then here's how this is connected to prayer. And this is what was interesting to me. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is an interesting take, and I'd never thought of this before. He points out that 1 Corinthians 7 connects marriage and prayer as well. 1 Peter 3 does, so does 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And he says, the point here is this, don't deprive each other of sexual relations so that you can pray.
Hmm.
Now, there's a little aside in there, a little excerpt in which he says, we're not to defraud each other in the bedroom. At times we do. It's not defrauding, but it's a mutual consent. We can't right now.
Right.
But he said that's an aside. His take is that the text is not teaching us. Sometimes, you know, for greater spiritual reasons, we're going to refrain in the bedroom so we can be more spiritual.
Right.
He says that actually abstinence in the marriage, Peter is teaching here, distracts us from prayer. And I've never, ever thought of that before.
That's not usually how that's
but
taught.
But here's the idea. Sleeping with your spouse. This is a statement he says, and I think it makes sense. Tell me if you agree.
Okay.
Sleeping with your spouse can leave your heart, mind, and soul free for a time to vigorously pursue God in prayer without distraction. And what he's saying is that when we serve in the marriage relationship and we serve each other sexually, we serve our partner and at the same time create a climate for an enriching prayer life. Mm. Now, that really is very unique to think about.
It is, but I will say it makes sense to me.
I think it made sense to me, and I think that's why I thought, wow, I've never thought of this before.
I think it makes sense because to me, especially as a woman, the bedroom life, if it's going well, that means that things are going well between us. Mm-hmm. If things are strained between us, there certainly is not a good bedroom life going on.
Sure.
So that if things are going really well in our marriage, in every area of our marriage, then yes, absolutely. You do feel a freedom with your Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. with your prayer life. If things are not well between us, yes, I will go to the Lord in prayer and I will pray about it. But there does seem to be a brokenness even in my relationship with my Heavenly Father because things are not right between you and me. And I know in order for me to be right with God, I need things to be right between you and me.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'd never thought of this before in light of this passage. But the idea that sleeping with your spouse, he's saying that, you know, wisely there, can leave your heart, mind, and soul free so you can vigorously pursue God in prayer without distraction. And his mm-hmm. whole point was that God did create us as sexual beings. And what yes. he's saying to the church at Corinth is God even made a way in your marriage for that sexual drive to be satisfied. And there are times when it can't be, and with a mutual consent, we just can't right now, or this is a time where that's not working. It could be somebody sick. It could be a time of the month. There's all kinds of perhaps right. reasons there.
Right.
But his whole point is that's an exception.
Yes.
The refraining from sexual relations in the marriage is an exception.
Right.
And the norm is that all of our needs are met. And what Peter is saying, or what Paul rather is saying to the church at Corinth, when all of your needs are met, it opens the door for you to have a great prayer life because your heart is free, your soul yes. is free, your mind is free, you're at ease.
Yes.
You can go to God with an open heart, and the relationship is enhanced by your marriage. And I thought that was just absolutely amazing.
That is amazing, and it's wonderful. And if you could see the sparkly eyes across the table from me right now.
I am making eyes at my wife.
This is not only sacred, it is physical.
I said, sweetheart, I need to pray.
I am so sorry that at the beginning of this podcast, we did not say, you know what, be careful of little ears.
This has great potential. Hey, we only have a few minutes
to
finish this thought in this chapter, but there is one more passage he mentions. We're talking here about how in his book, he says that a good marriage enhances our prayer life. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 is another text he refers to. Read that for us, and we'll close with this one.
Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift."
Okay. So he says, we go to the altar, and we're going to offer a gift to God, and yet we know that something is wrong between us and someone else.
Right.
Leave the gift and be reconciled first. Mm. And here's the point he makes on that verse. We have to learn how to reconcile so that we can have a good prayer life and get our prayers answered. And he even says this, and this is a direct quote, "Marriage virtually forces us into the intense act of reconciliation." Oh. And I thought this was a good quote too. "There are a million things I would rather do than put in the time and effort to resolve a relational hassle." And you know what? I underlined that and highlighted it.
I agree.
Because when things aren't well between you and me, it's going to take time to talk it through.
Yes.
For me to work in my own heart at listening to your side and understanding where you're coming from, mm-hmm. and taking the necessary steps to make sure that things are okay in your heart,
right?
and understanding how as a man I can take those necessary steps even when I don't quite see for sure everywhere you're coming from.
Right.
That's to solve and all of you that are married know this, don't you?
Yes.
Relational hassles are our least favorite part of being married. And yet they are a normal part of being married.
Right.
And what he says here is that the Bible is reminding us that this is true across the board. Anytime there's a relational failure, it needs to be dealt with because it hinders your prayer life.
Yes.
But his point in the context of marriage is marriage provides the greatest opportunity for relationship hassles.
You get good practice.
You get good practice. And it takes a struggle because a good marriage isn't something you find. It's something you work for.
Right.
And so the point being that in all the struggles of our marriage, every time, and this is encouraging because struggles are normal to marriage.
True.
But every time that you and I work through a struggle in the marriage and we grow through that struggle, then what that does is it sets us at peace with one another, but it also sets us at peace with our Heavenly Father.
True.
And when we are at peace with each other and we're at peace with our Heavenly Father, then it opens the door for us to have a really close relationship to God and get our prayers answered.
Yes. So
and that's the point he's making.
What he's saying is it's worth it to take the time to go through the hassle of, yes. No, what did you mean by that? No, tell me one more time. No, I didn't mean it that way. You know, you absolutely. Go round and round and round as a man and a woman, but it's worth that hassle because it not only deepens our relationship, but it deepens our relationship with God and our prayers can be unhindered.
Yeah, and that's a good way to close because 1 Peter chapter 3 is saying it's worth it for us to work on our relationship.
Yes.
Because it enhances our prayer life. Mm-hmm. And 1 Corinthians 7 is saying it's worth it to, 1 Peter 3 is saying it's worth it to show love and honor.
Yes.
That side. 1 Corinthians is saying it's worth it to work on the bedroom in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And Matthew is saying that it's worth it to solve the relational hassles.
Absolutely.
Because all of those make us right with each other and also open the door for us to be right with our God and have an amazing prayer life.
Right. And sometimes I would think that there are couples who don't want to go through that hassle, but yet feel like they are walking with God. And this book reminds us, and the Word of God reminds us, that we are not walking with God.
Sure. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today's discussion concluded Sacred Marriage Part 3. Join us next time for a special question and answers episode here at Keeping It Young.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.